of peace. In his presence, your troubles could vanish. Troubles. Hearts are mended. In his presence.
We could just stand once again. I just want to thank our worship team tonight for just bringing us into such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost. It is so great to have Lenny and Kathy Smith here tonight. Brother and Sister Smith, they live in... Watertown, yeah. They live in Antigua, and they founded the church there. And but they also have pastored down, that's what I was trying to think of, where they first, you were in Curacao, correct? And they started a church there, and they've just been a part of Calvary Gospel Church. Of course, we all know Ben and Victoria. This is Brother Ben's father. And we're just, it's just an honor to have you here this evening. And just come and preach to us, Brother Lenny. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. What? Amen. Why don't we give Jesus a hand clap of praise? He is worthy. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him something real sweet? Like, I'm sure glad you're in the house of God. Amen. You can be seated. We're sure glad you are here tonight. We call this the house of God, but truly, you, the people, that's the house of God. I'm not going to dwell in a temple built with hands. I'm going to dwell in my people. Amen? And just reminded of it, it was a pleasure and an honor to baptize Victoria here. But before that ever happened, we were in a garden show in Columbus, Ohio, and we almost got her mom convinced, and the guy that had the pools, it was at a home and garden show, they had a pool there, or a something, jacuzzi, and we almost got permission to baptize her there. But it didn't happen. But we got her baptized here. Amen? It's so good. And like Pastor was talking, he wanted to have one birthday. And some of you know my dad just passed away, and I thank you for all your condolences. But I'm happy in the sense that he's where I want to be. I'm not sad because he's gone. I'm sad because I can't hug him. Can't say I love you. But I'm not sad that he's gone. Not one bit. But my daddy, when I came into the church, he seen this boy that got in so much trouble do a 180, like immediately. And he kept watching my life, and he began to read the Word of God like never before. And he kept this big notepad right by his Bible, and he always wrote down every question that God gave him. And then he started to come to church when Pastor Manley was there in Watertown. And I seen this guy that never cried in his life take 2 and 3 farmer handkerchiefs or snot rags, whatever you want to call them, because they were full when he was done. See this my man cry. Because the Word of God was getting into his heart. And then he would go to Pastor Manley, well, what about this? Pastor Manley never told him. He would take his Bible, flip it over to the answer and say, and that's the way he answered my dad. And you get frustrated because you can't fight God. Now, you can give me an answer and I can debate and argue with you, but when you show it to me in the Word of God, who am I going to argue with? And it changed my daddy's life, and he said, I'm getting baptized on my 44th birthday in July 9th. And when he came up out of the water in Lake LaBelle in Oconomowoc, he was speaking in tongues. So he was born of the water and the Spirit on his 44th birthday in Oconomowoc. And he never changed. His whole desire was to live for God and let others know what it took to make heaven their home. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you for a little bit about, you got to understand something, every great saying or song or something happened out of either a trial or a victory. You know, when Miriam grabbed the tambourine and started shaking it, the horse and the rider thrown in to the sea. That was an awesome victory. But then there was another man who, as he crossed the oceans, wrote a song as God gave him the words, "It is well with my soul." God allowed all his property in the Chicago lakefront be burned up. Then he sends his family over to England. And while they are there, three of his daughters die in the passing. But yet he could sing a song, "It is well with my soul." So tonight I want to talk to you about one that you've probably heard many times in church especially, and it was by Joshua. And he said, "But as for me and my house," he said that for a reason. If you look at Joshua's life, he lived to be 130 years old or thereabouts, it says. But the last 30 years, he led Israel into, he crossed over the Jordan River. He was the one that got to take the people to the promised land. He helped them to conquer the adversary and the enemy. Joshua was a part of that. But 40 years prior to that, he wandered in a wilderness for 40 years for no fault of his own. Because of other people's choices, he had to stay stuck on the wrong side of the Jordan only because they didn't want to go. And he said, come on, we can take it. Him and Caleb were ready to go, but because of the people's voice that said, we're grasshoppers in their eyes, he had to suffer. Most all of us, maybe there's one good person here, but I doubt it, we would all get an attitude being stuck in a place we didn't want to be anyway. And I said, we can do it. But that wasn't good enough. I had to stay there. But then 40 years prior to that, he was born into slavery. He knew what it was like to wake up every morning and have a taskmaster tell you what to do and how you're going to do it, when you can eat, when you can sleep, what you can do. So I can guarantee you when Joshua stood up and made this proclamation, but as for me and my house, it was because of a lot of situations that have taken place in that man's life. He didn't want to go back to slavery. He surely didn't want to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years because of somebody else's choices. And he tried to get the people to understand there is a God that is able to take care of you, and he's willing to take you through whatever it takes if you'll just trust him. But as for me and my house, there's no question who I'm going to serve and how I'm going to do it. If we look at Joshua 24 in verses 1 and 2, we see this man get all these leaders, all these people together, the rulers, the officers, and he tries to, well, we'll just see. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to what? To Shechem. And called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And what'd they do? And they presented themselves before God. So Joshua gets all the big wigs together for one purpose, to present themselves before God. But it wasn't just them, it was all the people. Verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. But the Jews weren't supposed to be serving other gods. But he made mention that your fathers on the other side have served other gods. He's trying to prick their heart and their mind because we're not supposed to serve other gods. We're supposed to serve the one true God. Amen? So it goes on in chapter 24, verse 14. We read this. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Pastor, you know that when you come to speak or teach, you don't say something that's not necessary. Right? Obviously, Joshua knew that they were supposed to be serving the one true God, but obviously, they weren't all doing it. Because I wouldn't make a statement like that if everybody's on board. Right? So he provokes them or says, come on, guys. We need to get rid of these other gods and serve the one true God. Verse 15. Everybody knows this one. Yes. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, and the gods of the Ammonites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're going to live in my house, this is how we're going to do it. You got to understand something, church. Your home, your house is the sanctuary from this world. You're the controller of what comes in and what goes out. And Joshua said, if you're going to live in my house, this is how we're going to do things. Sorry to say, in Antigua, the parents most of the time don't really care. They can be going to one church and they'll let their kids go to another church. Ain't going to happen. Not in my house. If this is what I believe to be so, then they're going to know too. And I got proof of it. Because he's here. Amen? But you better make sure your house is clean from the things of this world. You got to understand, we live in a wicked, wicked world that's getting more wicked every day. And every time you go to work, every time you go to the store, every time you go someplace, you can't believe what you just saw. It's like, whoa, I can't believe they would do that right on the street. Oh, I can't believe they're doing that. And, whoa, that's because of the heart of man. But Joshua, living in slavery, wandering around where he don't want to wander for 40 years, and then had to lead these stiff-necked people to try to conquer the land, he said, no, we're going to serve God the right way. Verse 16. Look it. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and or to serve other gods. That's a very good answer. If I was Joshua, I think, man, that's good. They're going to serve God. Amen? But did that happen? Let's read on. Look at verse 25. I think it's 25. Just put up whatever I told you. I got to get my glasses so I can see my notes. Amen? Start with verse 23. That's it. Okay. That's bigger. I can see that really good. Thank you, Jesus. I seen some of Brother Crowder's notes. He puts everything really big so he can see it. Amen. Maybe I should do that. Now, therefore, put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your hearts unto the Lord God of Israel. In other words, they had some stuff in the house that didn't belong. And he's saying, you need to get rid of that stuff if you're going to serve the true God. Amen. But it goes on, verse 24. And the people said unto Joshua, and the Lord our God we will serve. Sounds good. And his voice will we obey. Okay. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. They met at Shechem. I want you to remember that word Shechem. It's a place, okay? But all of a sudden, when I started looking at other things, something kept popping up. Why? Well, we'll find out. Amen? But truly, what the people needed, do you know that Moses asked God for a leader? Moses asked God for somebody to replace him. Joshua made covenant with the people and statute and ordinances. But did that keep them? See, we all need a leader. We all need a pastor, a teacher, a preacher. Not just, yes, I'll do it. Because if there's nobody to hold you accountable, sorry to say, this old boy don't last too long going. How many of you made, you know, a New Year's resolution, and how long does it last? They made a good resolution. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to serve him. So what does it say in Judges chapter 2? See, they should have had a leader, not just a covenant and an ordinance and a statute. But in Judges 2 verse 10, we read, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there rose, this is when Joshua died and all the leaders that were with him died, another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. The next generation, What did Joshua hear? We're going to serve the Lord. One generation away, they're serving Balaam. Now go to Judges 17. This is the reason why they had no leader. Judges 17 tells us what? In those days, there was no king, no leader, no priest, no guide in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. See how many people we got in here tonight? Everybody thought they were serving God their own way without a leader. You need a church. You can't live for God without the church. You are a part of the body. You might not be up here speaking, but you're still a part of the body. And if you're the finger of the body, and the finger's very important, just cut it off once and you'll find out how important it is. But let me tell you what. If you chop yourself off, just say you're the finger and you chop yourself off, guess what? The body hurts, but the body heals. But guess what happens to the finger that's laying on the ground going? Ain't too long and it's dried up and nothing left to it. And that's what happens to everybody that separates themselves from the body of Christ. Because they do what's right in their own eyes. No. But this is what got me going here, because I think, okay, that's what Joshua did. Well, did anybody else do like Joshua? Let's look at Genesis 35. Genesis 35, and we got one of the patriarchs. Amen. Then Jacob said unto his household, these are his family, and to all that were with him, because he had servants and all that, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. He's the patriarch. He's the one that's following God. He's the one, before Joshua ever got to be Joshua, he was the one that made it possible. He had the 12 sons of Israel. But yet, he had to tell his family, you need to put away the strange gods that are among you. That's a sorry statement, but it's a true one. And he also said, you know, you need to be clean and change your garments. I don't know. Maybe they're wearing Babylonian garments. Don't know. But, you know, you could tell a Jew by what he wore. And you should be able to tell a Christian by what they wear. I can tell what a punk rocker is because how he dresses and what he looks like. It's pretty simple to identify. I'm not here to knock them, but you can identify them by how they dress and how they act and what they say. And so should we be the same. Amen? But it goes on to say in verse 3, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the days of my distress. And was with me in the way which I went. Look at verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands. Obviously, they had something in their hands. They had something in the backpack, shouldn't have been there. It goes on to say, they were in their hands and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob did hide them under the oak which was by Shechem. What's going on here? This is hundreds of years before Joshua ever did anything. But Jacob is calling his people to get rid of their gods and leave them where? At Shechem. Joshua is making covenant with people for God, to God, in Shechem. But it just gets more interesting. Amen? When I started this thing, I thought I was going one way. And when I got into it, it's like, oh, God, just take me down this other road. It's like, this is neat. Amen? Going back to Genesis, God called Abraham, which was Abram in the beginning. Amen? In Genesis 12, verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem. Sychem. But that's Shechem. I checked it all out, okay? I'm not trying to put my own name in there. It's the same place. In the plains of Mamre, okay, we don't need to go no further there. Go to verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, will I give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him, where? At Shechem. What's going on here? It seems like God's meeting with people, and people are meeting with God. They're making altars, they're making covenants, they're making a pact with God. Where? At Shechem. Starting with Abraham. But going on. Genesis 37. And Israel, which was Jacob, said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? That's where Jacob raised his family, was in the same place where he hid those other gods. That's where his kids were taking care of the livestock. But look what else happens there. This was real interesting. You know, Solomon had a son, amen, who became king. And look what it says here in Kings, 1 Kings 12 and verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. Wow. Kings are made in Shechem. Israel's gathered together there. This even gets more interesting. Go to John chapter 4. Jesus himself had to go there. John chapter 4. It says, go back, verse 4. And he, Jesus, must needs go through Samaria, verse 5. Then cometh he, Jesus, to the city of Samaria, which was called Sychar, which was Shechem, near the parcel of ground which Jacob gave to his son Joseph, where Joseph's well was, or Jacob's well was, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria because I happen to like meeting with people in Shechem. And while I'm there at the well, and this woman with some family issues shows up, I declare unto her, who the Jews do not particularly care for, if you study it out, the Jews would take the long way around, go down by the Dead Sea and come back up, because they did not want to go through Samaria. They didn't like the Samaritans. But Jesus says, I must needs go through there. And when he gets there, he meets with a woman at Jacob's well. Of all places, Jacob's well, where God meets with people. And we know that he reveals himself to this woman that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Way before the Jews ever understood who Jesus was, a people that were despised by Jesus' own people were shown the most glorious thing that ever happened. God come down to earth. And it happened in Shechem. But it just gets better. Okay. Go to Acts 7, verse 15. So Jacob went down unto Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and they were carried over unto Sychem, which is Shechem, and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought. It's amazing to me that Abraham met God where? In Shechem. Built an altar there. Made covenant with him, and God made covenant with him. Your seed are going to be like the sands of the seas and the stars of the sky. And where does Abraham end up when he's dead? He's taken back to Shechem and placed in a sepulcher. Guess what? Jacob's back there too. There's going to be a whole bunch of people back there. It's amazing. Where you start with God could be where you end up with God. Genesis chapter 49, 31. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. And they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. But also remember that when Jacob went down to Egypt, he died. And Joseph got this big procession and all the fanfare. And they took Daddy where? Back to Shechem and put him where grandpa was and great grandpa was and where grandma was and where mom and dad were. He put him right there. And then Joseph, he goes back there too, but Joseph takes the long way around. Because Joseph dies in Egypt, but he said, when you guys leave this place, and you're going to leave it one day, I want you to take my bones back to grandpa's burial site. And put me there, but you got to understand something. When they left Egypt, because of the choice of the 10 spies, they had to carry Joseph's bones around for 40 years because they couldn't cross Jordan and put them in grandpa's tomb. He took the long way around, man. He had to wander around the wilderness for 40 years before he ever got his bones put back to where they belong. Amen? All because of the choices of other people. So Shechem was a place where God met with man and man with God. And we see how Abraham started in his lineage, but they all ended up back in the same place. I want to go back to the story about the woman at the well. In John chapter 4 and 42, the people of Samaria got the opportunity, the privilege to hear the master himself. And this is what they said to the woman, because she went around, man, she was Jesus' newscaster. She was broadcasting who he was and what he was. But this is what the people said. They said, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Before any Jew realized who Jesus was, the Samaritans knew exactly who he was. And where did it happen? In Shechem. Just humor me for a little bit. After all you've just heard, could it be that let me first just ask you this question. Where is your Shechem? Where did you meet with God? Where did you make covenant with God? Where did God commune with you? Could it be that the church of the living God is the spiritual Shechem of what we've read? When we come to this altar where God dwells and we pour out our heart because we have messed up and we repent, and God begins to make covenant with us, and we go down into a watery grave, and then he fills us with that Spirit, the Holy Ghost. His Spirit, I am with you, but I shall be in you. You don't have to live for God by yourself. But see, what happened at Shechem was they had to get rid of all the strange gods. If you want to serve God the way God wants you to serve him, you need to clean house. And only you can do that. Pastor's not going to come to your house with a checklist. You drive him crazy. You need to have enough backbone and enough love for God and the things of God for what he has done for us, that you're willing to get rid of anything that would cause you to deviate off the track of where God wants you to be. When God got a hold of this old boy, it was in March, but I still had a wood burner. It was still cold. And everything that could burn did burn. It's either that's going to burn or this old boy's going to burn. And it ain't going to be this boy that's burning. So I opened up the door and got rid of everything I could in that wood burner. Because I didn't want, I buried him in Shechem. Mm-hmm. I got rid of him. Sister Smith, I just call her Mom. When she came in, she had all these albums, all these clothes, all this stuff that wasn't pleasing to God. They took it to the park. And they put it by the pavilion. And they didn't think nothing of it. But they doused little stuff on it and they lit it. And that they had a bigger pile than they thought. And they thought they was going to burn the place down. See, some of us have a lot of stuff to get rid of. But the thing is, are you willing to get rid of it? I found Jesus on my knees at an altar. As the pastor preached and the word of God went forth, he's like, I want what he's talking about. I need what he's talking about. I lived my life for 22 years and messed it up bad. In and out of county jail. And I went to church every Sunday. But still getting locked up in a county jail. That made sense. Obviously, God didn't have a lot of influence in my life. You know, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I've never been arrested since. I was on my way to church one Sunday night, and all of a sudden those lights come on. I'm going, no, what did I do? I wasn't speeding. What did I do? And I pulled over and I pulled out my wallet and got out my driver's license. And the cop walks up to the door and he goes, Lenny, where you been? I got to ride in his cars a lot of times, you know. He'd take me to the Crowbar Hotel. We got to spend some time together. But he ain't seen me for a long time. And Mom's sitting, you know, on the other side looking at him like, what do you mean, Lenny? What do you mean? Where you been? It's like I had to explain myself after he left. She had no clue what I was before then. B.C., you know, before Christ. Why would you want to go back to that life? This is the best life you can live. So you know what kind of altar call we're going to have tonight? We're not going to ask God for nothing. I want you to come up here and thank him for the opportunity that he's given each and every one of us to draw nigh to him. Because when you draw nigh to him, he's drawn nigh to you. This is a privilege to be in the house of God, to hear the word of God go forth, to feel his presence in the worship. We don't need to ask God for nothing. We need to thank him for everything. Amen. So the altar's open. Why don't you just come and thank God for all he's done for you and all that he's about to do for you and through you and in you. We need to just worship God, church, because he is so awesome. None of us deserve anything that we have. All that we have is because of his grace and mercy. Where's your Shechem tonight?